Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to John, the 14th chapter, starting in verse 12. And we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm calling this message Introduction to the Holy Spirit. And if you were with us last week, you know we talked about the Resurrection Sunday, the first fruits of all creation, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was offered back up to the Father, and He shed His precious blood on the cross. He took His own precious blood into the Holy of Holies, into the heaven itself, and He made that payment for us, that ransom payment that allows us to know Him for all eternity, that allows us to have remission of sins and to have our sins forgiven. And so, just as Jesus was preparing His disciples for the eventuality, for the day when He would be leaving them and they would not have Him walking with them any longer, so too we are in that situation. We don't have Jesus walking with us. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, although He does appear to people at different times and in different places. Primarily the way that the Lord ministers to us is through and by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was poured out, as we know, in Acts, the second chapter, at the day of Pentecost, when they were all gathered together, the Holy Spirit was poured out. But I'm going to just give some instruction today on the Holy Spirit, and then we'll be taking up that passage next week about the second chapter in Acts at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But today we're going to be looking at the aspects of the Holy Spirit and how it can apply to you in your life and what it means to you as a believer to know that you are not an orphan, to know that you are walking with the Lord, to know that the Comforter and the Helper and the Advocate is with you, and in every situation you have the Holy Spirit to guide you, to counsel you, to lead you into the truth. In every situation, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the third person of the triune God that we love and serve, that Holy Spirit is with you to lead you and to guide you. Well, in John 14, verse 12, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and He says to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." And I believe Jesus is not speaking about the quality of the works, because Jesus performed every miracle, even up to saving and resurrecting dead people. He performed every miracle, every miraculous thing that could ever be performed in terms of healing and casting out demons and salvation. Jesus performed it. But in terms of quantity and the scope, we have the opportunity, because Jesus was limited in His physical geography, in His physical body, He was limited in the scope of His ministry. We have the opportunity through the Holy Spirit to be able to do greater works in terms of quantity and in terms of the scope across the face of the earth and in terms of the different places that you and I can visit on behalf of the kingdom of God, different places that we can go and are sent on behalf of the kingdom of God. And so we can do greater works. Jesus was on this earth to minister for just 3.5 years. He lived for 33 plus years, but He was only here to minister for 3.5 years. And so many of us have the opportunity maybe to minister for 50, 60, maybe even 70 years. Some of you who have been faithful since the very beginning, since your teenage years or even before that, to go on mission trips, to spread the word, to spread the gospel. And so the greater works that you do have been noted by the Lord, and He gives us strength. He can restore to you. For those of you who've never ministered in the name of the Lord Jesus, you've maybe never gone on a short-term mission trip, you've never stepped out and worked for the kingdom in any way, and He will give you the strength to do it. And not only that, He will restore to you everything that the devil has taken from you, so that when you start to minister, you can receive an acceleration, you can receive a double portion, you can receive a tremendous blessing from the Lord, and He will make up for those years when you were not doing anything. He will make up for those years when you were sitting on the sideline, or maybe even worse than that, you were walking with the devil and promoting the devil's program. And because the Lord is not bound by linear time, He will make up to you all that the devil has taken from you. And when you start to minister, that He can accelerate the time and put you out there in a place where those lost years are not even counted. And those lost, that lost time when you were serving the devil's kingdom, it will not even be counted. And God can accelerate and give you that double portion. He can move you forward in ways that will restore all that the devil has taken from you. And so then in verse 13, Jesus says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And so when we pray to the Lord, we ask the Father, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then we ask the prayer in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, to bring glory to the Father through the Son. And so we do that knowing that when you are asking for things of the kingdom, whether it is something for yourself, bread and provision for yourself, or whether it is something for your family, salvation for your children, salvation for your grandchildren, whatever it is that you're asking for the kingdom. Maybe you're believing, like I am, for provision to go do some great work for the kingdom in a far-off country. Or maybe you're looking to go to Mexico to build a house. Whatever it is that you want to do, if it is for the kingdom's sake, if it is going to bring glory to the Father through the Son, then you ask it in Jesus' name, and you can be assured that you are going to receive it. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so if you are asking for things for the kingdom, for provision for the kingdom, for strength for yourself to do kingdom work, anything that you ask, and whatever it is you're asking for will bring glory to the Father through the Son, then Jesus says, you ask for it and I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so those who are walking with the Lord, we have a desire to keep His commandments. We have a desire to live a righteous and a holy life. We have a desire to live like Jesus. People ask, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus lived a righteous and a holy life. He was not stained by sexual immorality. He was not stained by pornography. He was not stained by thievery and drunkenness and vile living. He was not stained in any way. And so that is our desire, is that if you say you love Jesus, if you say you know Him as your Lord and Savior, then desire to live like Him, then desire to have your life be a reflection of Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:29, it says that those that He foreknew, those that God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we are conformed, or we are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We are to look like Jesus. Our lives should be a reflection of the Savior that we adore and that we love. And so Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so that is a test or a litmus test of how much you love the Lord. How much do you desire really to be like Jesus Christ? How much do you desire for your life to be a reflection of the life of Jesus Christ? When people see you, do they say, there is a man of God? When people see you, do they say, there's a man that looks like Jesus Christ? And so that is our desire, to live and to look like Jesus Christ. Verse 16, now Jesus starts to talk about the Holy Spirit, and He starts to instruct the disciples on the aspects of the Holy Spirit and what they can come to expect when He leaves them. In verse 16, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. And this Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so Jesus tells them that he's not going to leave them as orphans. He's leaving them. Yes, his physical presence was going to be removed from them. But he's telling them, you will not be left as orphans. You will be cared for. You will be given a comforter. You will be given an advocate. You will be given an intercessor and someone to encourage you and someone to strengthen you. And he calls that Spirit in verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. Well, we have come to know the Spirit of Truth as the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. And when you are a believer, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you confess his name, and you walk with him, when you confess his name, then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When your heart is truly broken, when you have repented of your sins, when you have truly sought the Lord with all your heart, strength, and mind and soul, then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can know the presence of God, so that the presence of God dwells within us. And the kingdom of God then dwells within us in the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. And that Holy Spirit can give you counsel. That Holy Spirit can encourage you. It can strengthen you. It can warn you. It can be everything to you that you want God to be, because that is truly what he is that the Holy Spirit is the third person of God in you, dwelling within your holy temple. And so Jesus says the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it neither sees him nor knows him. And so the Holy Spirit does not come to dwell in those who have not confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit does not come to dwell in those who have denied Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not come to dwell in those who mock Jesus and who mock the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is reserved specifically for believers, people who have believed that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And then God says, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit upon you because you have believed. Through faith, you have believed. And so here is my presence to dwell in you. And what a precious gift it is, beloved. What a precious gift to know that God cares so much about us that he wants to dwell within us, that God cares so much about you that he wants to dwell within you and give you a special blessing from himself, and that is his very own Spirit to dwell within you and to give you counsel, to encourage you. And the world cannot know it. The world has to divine, you might say, or go by divination, go by hunches, and go by intuition, and go by just experience in business or in athletics or whatever endeavor people are striving to succeed in. The Holy Spirit is not there to give them counsel. The Holy Spirit is not there to give them truth if they have never confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so the world can't receive him. The world doesn't see him. The world doesn't know him. The world is in denial. But as soon as God opens up the eyes of a person and the Holy Spirit starts to woo that person because of prayers or because of circumstances in their life that break them and lead them to a place where they are ready to receive the Holy Spirit, when that happens, then all of the barricades and all the blocks and the barriers come down. And the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life, and the Holy Spirit then takes up residence when that person makes his confession of faith, and then follow it up with baptism, follow it up as an act of obedience to be baptized and to show the world that you are identifying yourself with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then when you do that, when you have taken those steps, you know for certain. You know for certain that the Holy Spirit is within you. You know for certain that you have the counsel of God dwelling within your holy temple. You know for certain that you are then not an orphan, that you are a child of the living God. Well, let's jump over to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And so people ask, well, how did the disciples write down, for instance, the four books of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how did they write those down and get all these words that Jesus spoke? Well, the Holy Spirit was bringing to their remembrance all the words that he spoke. Jesus says to them that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you, and that he will teach you all things. And so, beloved, if you have questions about things that are happening in your life, if you have difficulty making decisions and moving forward and wondering how you're going to get through certain circumstances and certain situations in your life, maybe it's dealing with certain people, or maybe it's dealing with financial issues, maybe it's dealing with situations in your business, with your spouse, with your family, you start to ask the Holy Spirit and then listen. Be still and listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth in all things. The Holy Spirit will guide you through dreams and visions. The Holy Spirit will guide you through the written word of God as you pick up his word and you read it every day. The Holy Spirit will start to guide you, and things in God's word will jump off the page at you and speak to your heart and give you the truth to be able to navigate through the situations in your life that may look very difficult, may be very difficult circumstances. God has a plan for you. God has a way for you to deal with these situations so that you will not be harmed, so that you will not be broken. And so if you come to listen to the Holy Spirit and come to take counsel in the Holy Spirit, then these things will be revealed to you, and the Holy Spirit will teach you the truth in all things. Well, in John 15, chapter 15, Jesus goes on to speak more about the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 26, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And so Jesus said the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will testify of the Father. And one thing you can be assured of, beloved, is that the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and the Father are always in unity. They are in one accord. They will never speak against each other. What you hear from the Holy Spirit will never go against God's will for your life. What you hear from the Holy Spirit will never go against what Jesus has declared and spoken over your life. And so they are in perfect unity. The triune nature of the God is a great mystery, but we can know for certain that all of the persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are in complete unity, and they will never speak against each other. They will never go against each other. And so when you hear from the Holy Spirit, you know you're also hearing from the Father, and you're hearing from Jesus Christ. John chapter 16, Jesus goes on to speak more about the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." And so Jesus was giving instructions to the disciples, and he was telling them, it's a good thing that I'm going away. And of course, the disciples didn't understand that at the time. You would not have understood it had you been walking with Jesus, and you had seen all the miracles performed that he performed, all the demons cast out, all the people raised from the dead. It would have been a very difficult thing for you to say, I'm happy that you're going away, Jesus. I'm glad that you're departing, and we're looking forward to the day you depart. No, they weren't saying that. They were forlorn. They were disappointed. They were discouraged. They didn't understand what was coming. And when Jesus went to the cross, I'm sure it was a great shock to them, and even more of a discouragement to them to see him hanging on the cross. But he said, I am going away, and it is going to be to your advantage. And we talked about this before, because the Holy Spirit would then reside in each individual person. The Holy Spirit would not be just scattered out on a few, or reside with a few anointed ministers or a few anointed people walking with the Lord. The Holy Spirit would then be available for every single person. Every single person. The Spirit of the living God would be available for every single person. And had Jesus not gone away, that would not have been the case. Then Jesus goes on to describe the nature of the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And so Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to go about, and the Holy Spirit is going to convict people of their sin. But many won't believe. Many won't believe that they have sin, and therefore they will not receive me as their Savior. And he will convict people of righteousness because they do not live a righteous life. They do not live a holy life. They tarnish their holy temple with their life. They tarnish their heart with their life. And so Jesus said the Holy Spirit will convict them of righteousness. He will show them what righteousness is and what right living is. And then of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And he's speaking of the devil here, because Jesus, when he went to the cross, he basically judged the ruler of this world. When he went to the cross, he showed the ruler of this world, that is the devil, that death no longer has sting over him, that death no longer has power over him. When he rose from the dead, he said to the devil, "You no longer have power over death." And he released the captives, Jesus did. He went down to the depths of Sheol, into the inner parts of the earth, and he released the captives, and he took them with him, and he gave gifts to men, the gifts of apostle, of prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And so Jesus said that the ruler of this world is judged. And so the devil knows that his time is growing short. He knows he has been judged, and he has been judged, and his judgment is that he will eventually end up in the lake of fire, that he will be bound there with all those who do not believe, with all those who have denied Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. They will be bound with the devil for all eternity in the lake of fire. Well, Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you." And so Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will even guide you into things yet to come, into the truth of situations yet to come. And so you can pray and ask the Father for guidance and wisdom on situations in your life that have not come about yet, situations that you know are coming down the road and in the future. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you guidance and counsel, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, even in situations yet to come. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit takes from the Father, and he takes from Jesus, and he will declare it to you. And you know you are hearing from the Father and from the Son when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Well, it's a precious blessing that we have to have the Holy Spirit walk with us, talk with us, and guide us. It's a precious Spirit that the Lord has given us, and we thank the Lord so much for the guidance and the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you make that decision today. You get down on your knees. You repent of your sins, you ask the Lord to forgive you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you are broken before the Lord and you confess his name, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, Gather the Outcast has a great missions project lined up this summer. I'm going to be taking a team to Africa with me to work on the orphanage project over in West Kenya. If you would be interested in going to Africa for 2 weeks to work on the orphanage project over in West Kenya, drop me an email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you'd be interested. I will send you an itinerary and let you know all the things that you need and all the places that we're going to be going and the complete trip itinerary. So just drop me a line if you are interested. We'd love to have you go with us. If you have any special skills of ministry or maybe doctoring or dentistry or some other skills such as that, let me know. We can arrange to have clinics where your skills could be put to use. And so I pray that you would ask the Lord to guide you in that regard, that maybe you could go and be a blessing to the people in West Kenya. Now, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we've got contact information coming up here in just a minute. Stay tuned for that. We're going to send out a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa, to everyone who makes a donation, so we'd love to hear from you. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you enjoy these broadcasts, and include a donation to receive that great book. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.